You know, every state has a state motto. We're the Show Me State. Every state has a state bird. Every state has a state flower. If our current American culture had a flower, what would it be? I'm convinced it would be this pretty little flower here. I think this would be the flower of our current culture. The flower I am holding here is a flower that is called, you can see on the big screen, an impatiens. Now, we know how the flower impatiens gets its name because impatiens are impatient. You drop off the S and you add the T, and that's the origin of this little flower, is impatient. Well, why would this flower, what does that have to do with being impatient? Well, the impatient flower has a little seed pod, and when it's at maturity, the slightest touch, the slightest irritation will make that seed pod explode, and it will shoot the seed out several yards. That's how it germinates. That gives you the common name of this flower. You may not know it as an impatiens, but it's also called a touch-me-not. And I believe this is the flower of our culture, because in our culture, the slightest irritation can make us snap, pop, and explode. You see, our culture is so impatient. Our culture is so angry, explosive, overly sensitive, short-fused. There is no way anyone's going to get anything over on us. If you push a little bit in our culture, we're going to push back. We see it all around us, this impatient anger. I mean, all you got to do is drive. Why do people pass you, then pull in front of you and go slow? Okay? And why do people tailgate like it's bump drafting in NASCAR? And stoplights. I read an article this week that said you have 2 seconds when the light turns green before somebody behind you starts honking. Now, I understand the courtesy honk of making someone aware, but we're not talking about the beat the steering wheel honk because you haven't moved in a whopping 2 seconds. What cracks me up is elevators. We walk up to an elevator, we push the button to go up or down, and we stand there. Teresa Christie with the Otis Elevator Company says their research shows that you have 20 seconds till you get annoyed. And after 20 seconds, a whopping 20 seconds, our life's on hold for 20 seconds. We got places to go and things to do. We can't wait 20 seconds. What most people will do, their research shows, they'll push the button 2 or 3 more times. It's kind of like we know this secret. There's this secret sensor inside the button of an elevator that only we know about. And after 20 seconds, if you push it 3 times, it will skip all the other floors and come directly to us and open the doors up really quickly. Well, know what happens when you push the elevator button more than once after 20 seconds. It absolutely does nothing except show how impatient we are and how easily we get irritated. Steve Goodyear wrote about a news story. He said, here's the news article. A man in Los Angeles, California was arrested for negligent discharge of a weapon after shooting his toilet bowl 5 times with a .38 caliber handgun. He claims he just got upset. Probably said some potty words, potty mouth. Anyway, sorry. He couldn't take it any longer. His daughter had flushed a hairbrush earlier in the day and clogged the pipe, so he shot the offending toilet and was arrested. He said his patience was totally gone and no report yet on the condition of the toilet at news time. We don't know. Okay. I'll stand first in line and admit it. If you won't, I will. I struggle with impatience from time to time. Now, I never gun down toilet stools, but I do have that struggle. And you know what? You do too, to some degree. We're all wired different. Let me say, if you are a type A, highly motivated, entrepreneur type, successful person, you probably have a greater difficulty with patience and with, you know, being irritated and those sort of things, and someone that's maybe, you know, we all know people that's going to live to be 140 because they just kind of go through life like this and everything's, you know. But if you don't believe that we all struggle with impatience and irritability, it's how we're wired as humans, I invite you to spend 48 hours with a baby. Okay, and that baby will soon show you that we as humans, we want it and we want it now. and we get very irritated. What's bad is even as Christ followers. I wish it wasn't this way, but this is the real world. The old patterns of our life before Jesus, we still battle with those things. People who know and love Jesus still can have a short fuse, still can be impatient, still can hold a grudge, still can be some kind of spiritual, oversensitive, defensive, touch me not, where the least little thing sets us off. Imagine what life would be like if we could, in an ever-growing way, experience in our hearts and express to others love and not hate. Peace and mercy. Patience and not anger. Imagine a life when, if we're around difficult people, or we're in a difficult situation, or things are not happening as quick as we would like them to happen, imagine if in the midst of that kind of frustration and difficulties, there could be a calmness, a restraint, a peace in our lives. I've got great news. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a fruit gusher, and so am I. And long-suffering is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what we're talking about today. How you and I, again, can ever be growing and being people with patience and short fuses and calmness in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is so important to the life of a believer. So much so that God laid on my heart as pastor to spend 10 weeks studying it. It's in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, and the Lord laid on my heart to give, you see it on the cover of your worship guide, fruit gushers. Fruit gushers is a fruity, chewy candy that's filled with fruit juice. You bite into it, and this juice gushes out. And we have been saying through this series, that's the spiritual picture of every Christ follower, that fruit. And when you hear the word fruit, think of the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus in us, when we interact with the world in real world situations, is to gush out of us for God's glory and to advance His gospel to all people. We're talking about an authentic Christian life. An authentic Christian life is a fruit of the Spirit-filled life. This is a life God wants us to experience on the inside and express on the outside. And here's been our text. We'll go through this till Labor Day. Labor Day weekend. You don't want to come on Monday, but Labor Day weekend. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says this: the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Those were the first three flavors that we covered. Today is number four, long-suffering. Next week will be kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is the life God has for you. That's a life well lived. That's a life that, man, makes a difference. But that's also the life God wants from us. This is the life that Jesus wants us to not only experience, but to express to others in all situations of life. And it's an ongoing process. We're looking at the fourth flavor today, long-suffering. Remember, fruit, once again, is the life of Jesus in us showing out of us. The way an apple hangs on an apple tree, the fruit, Jesus, the life of Jesus, is to hang on you and hang on me. That fruit we're talking about here, that I'm glad it all deals with the Holy Spirit and not our self-efforts, because every believer in Jesus is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is only produced by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. You see, fruit, having a life of love, joy, peace in all situations, again, not perfectly, none of us are perfect, but an ever-growing presence of this in our life, we can't do that in and of ourselves. This is not about hard work. It's not about self-effort. It's about surrender. We yield and cooperate with the Holy Spirit inside of us, and He produces the fruit. We don't produce it. He produces it. All we do is bear it. And that it's not nine separate fruits. It's singular. It's fruit, not fruits. That these are nine flavors of one fruit. These are nine characteristics of Jesus. Jesus is this, and we are to be this because His life is in us and coming out of us. Again, that we're not perfect. But the good news is, as I go through this message talking about patience and being irritable and having a short fuse and not losing our temper. I mean, it's going to bring conviction in all of our lives to a different degree. And I want you to know up front, if you think I do this perfectly, there's no way. None of us know perfection, but this is the exciting news. As you and I grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, the fruit can ripen. Just like fruit ripens, each and every day as we grow in Jesus, love can ripen in our life. Joy can ripen, peace, long-suffering, kindness. Each and every day we can grow in these areas where the fruit ripens in our life, because this is our witness to the world. When the world sees you and I around difficult people or difficult situations, or when we are waiting for something, and yet there's self-restraint, there's joy, there's peace, there's love, the world not only wants that, the world says, how in the world does that happen? And you and I have the privilege of the life of Jesus in us showing out of us for His glory. It's our witness to the world. So we're talking about long-suffering, talking about patience, and talking about anger. Three lessons for living. Lesson for living number one. God's people are to be short-fused people, long-fused people in a short-fused world. Whoops! I'm glad my wife didn't go, amen, preach it, brother. But anyway, God's people are to be long-fused people in a short-fused world. Okay, the word long-suffering, when's the last time you used it in a sentence? Here's what I want us to see. That is a word that's not common in our language today. We don't commonly use the word long-suffering. It's not common in our language, but it is a virtue that needs to be common in our lives. Our marriages and every ministry in this church needs us to be people who are long-suffering. Our homes, our jobs, our communities need us to be long-suffering. Innocent toilet bowls need people who are long-suffering. What does this word mean? Because we don't use it very often. Now, your Bible translation may say love, joy, peace, patience. It's patience, but it's beyond that. If your Bible says patience, that's not the best definition of the word in the Greek. The better definition is long-suffering. See, long-suffering is patience, but it's more than patience. It's patience with endurance. It's not just patience by itself. It's the marriage, it's the welding of patience and endurance. Here's what long-suffering means. It means, number one, I will not give up, but I am able to stand up under the weight. If I'm waiting on something, and it may be frustrating, and the pressure is on, long-suffering means I won't give up. I can stand up under the pressure of that weight. Long-suffering, number two, means I won't blow up. Long-suffering is the very opposite of anger. It means to be long-fused, literally. It means we are people of love and mercy, not hate and anger. Long-suffering means, number three, that we trust the timing of God. We don't give God deadlines. We know God's time is always the best time, and God doesn't work on our calendars. And we're saying, God, I'm not giving you a deadline. I, in my mind, want this to happen quickly. But God, I trust your timing. I rest in your timing. And it means, number four, this patient endurance. It means when I am provoked by a difficult situation or a difficult person, I respond with restraint, not retaliation or revenge. Look how critical that is in our life relationships, how critical that is in business. This is so practical. I'm so glad that God's Word gets down to the very nitty-gritty of the living of life and interacting with other people. Man, we don't want to give up. We want to stand up under the pressure. We don't want to blow up. We want to be loving and merciful, not hateful and angry. We want to wait on God's timing and trust in Him as He's in control of everything. And in a difficult situation or a difficult person, we don't want revenge. We don't want to retaliate. We want to restrain. Now, the reason why we struggle with long suffering, I believe there's three things. I believe when things go wrong, we struggle with our patience and our anger. I believe when we are wronged, we struggle with patience and anger. Or when it takes too long, we struggle with patience and anger. When things go wrong, there are irritations in life. There can be serious illnesses. There can be just the busyness of schedule, a confusing time in our life, a difficulty, a storm. When things go wrong in life, it's easy for us to become impatient and angry. Number two is when we are wronged. We're ill-treated by other people. This is not going to shock you, but there are some awful, obnoxious people walking on planet Earth. There are some difficult people that will mistreat you and mistreat me. And when we are wronged by other peoples, we can be impatient and angry. And when things take too long, how this third thing is so, we are all about the instant response. We have the perceived need for speed. We want faster transportation and faster technology. How dare that little thing on my phone sit there and spin? We want faster service. We have a speed up the process mentality. I mean, speed it up whatever it takes. I love how John Fitzgerald told the story about a humorous columnist named Dave Barry. Dave Barry was talking about lighting the old-fashioned charcoal. You know, if you want a barbecue or grill and you don't have the propane, the old, you know, where you've got charcoal. And typically what you do is you light it and it starts at the edges and you watch the charcoal slowly burn. And then after a period of time, you can cook on it. Well, that takes too long. He said, so what a lot of backyard cooks do is you take all that lighter fluid and you keep squirting it to where your hot dog tastes like a 5-gallon can of gasoline. Or we know that the charcoal has to have oxygen, so some people will use a blow dryer just to keep it going. He said, Dave Barry said he has a friend that used a leaf blower. Wow, just to keep it, to make it. But what I loved about this story is Dave Barry said one of his friends, whose name is George Goble, who's an engineer at Purdue University, the engineers at the University of Purdue had a cookout and they were going to barbecue, and he used a propane torch to light the charcoal. Well, that instantly ignited competition among all the other engineers. So the next year, year two, one of the engineers used an acetylene torch. But what topped it off, I love this story, was year three, which had to be a world record. They ignited the charcoal with let me tell you exactly what it is, because I'm going to tell you what it is wrong here. They ignited it with 3 gallons of liquid oxygen. That's the stuff that fuels the space shuttle. Not making it up. 60 pounds of charcoal hit 10,000 degrees and was ready to grill in 3 seconds. Now all the ladies are going, huh? Every guy is going, that is so cool. How can I do that? It's faster, faster, faster. And if it's not as fast as we think it should go, it stirs us up and stresses us out, and we become impatient and we become angry. When things go wrong, when we are wronged with difficult people, difficult situations, when it takes too long and we're waiting for the diagnosis. Why won't the doctor call? We're waiting for the answer on the job interview. We're waiting, saying, will I be single the rest of my life? Man, we can become really irritable. And when we do, we lose our patience and our endurance. But when we're long-suffering, without endurance, we will give up and resign to the challenge. Without patience, we will blow up and retaliate to the challenge. But you see, through the Holy Spirit, when we yield to the Holy Spirit, He will release His power in you and His power in me. We don't produce long-suffering, we just bear it. Not perfect, but that fruit will ripen in our lives as we keep growing in Christ. In other words, what long-suffering allows us to do is not throw up our hands and give up, not take it into our hands in anger and try to control it, but to place the situation into the hands of Christ. And trust Him and His intervention and His timing. When I was studying long-suffering, it was interesting. In the Old Testament word for long-suffering in the Hebrew, it means to have a long nose. Now, what does have a long nose have to do with patient endurance or long-suffering? Well, the nose in the Old Testament speaks of breathing. And the word for anger in the Hebrew speaks of short, quick, violent breaths. You know, when someone's mad, that kind of stuff. But the word in the Hebrew for long suffering speaks of long breaths. Difficult people, difficult situations, and you've got a long, calm, peaceful breath. Not short breaths. So now when all your friends hear you saying, "And Jesus, would you give me a long nose?" They'll know, they won't know what you're talking about. Number two. Long-suffering is our imitation of God's nature. Long-suffering is our imitation of... This is just not a good idea to have better people skills, to have a better marriage, to help, you know, increase whatever. This is God's very nature. God is long-suffering. I mean, He absolutely is long-suffering. says the Lord passed before him, talking about Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness. God is long-suffering. And if God was not long-suffering, you and I would have never gotten saved. If God was not grace, filled with grace and love and long-suffering, we would have never had our sins forgiven. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. Long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, we live in a world where people think they can be good enough and do enough good to win God's favor. We live in a world where every day, how many hundreds of thousands of times, the holy ears of God hears people take His name as a cuss word. We live in a world where it's filled with idolatry, where people laugh and scoff at His cross, where people persecute His church, the bride. We live in a world of anger and murder and injustice and hatred and rampant perversion. And before we start pointing the evil in people around us, we first better see the evil in our own lives. You know what God's response is to taking His name in vain and to having idols and to rampant perversion and immorality and materialism and worldliness and selfishness? God gives chance after chance after chance after chance to come to Him. God is long-suffering. He delays deserved wrath and pours out undeserved grace. Are you glad that God's long-suffering with you? Man, I'm glad He's long-suffering with me. But now God is long-suffering, and without His long-suffering, we would never be saved, His grace. But now, once we are saved, we are to imitate Jesus. That's the fruit. That's fruit gushers. The life of Jesus in us, Jesus is long-suffering. We're to be long-suffering. We imitate Him. He produces that in us. The Bible is clear that that is who we are to be. That Christ, like Christ, who is loving, long-suffering, and merciful, and He's not hateful, He's not impatient, He's not angry, we are to be the same thing. God's Word tells us as Christians that the fruit in our lives is to be patient endurance or long-suffering. Colossians 1:11 says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Not our power, not us making it happen, not us producing it, but Jesus in us, strengthened by all might according to His power unto patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. The Bible teaches us where we are to be long-suffering at. We're to be long-suffering by not repaying evil for evil in 1 Thessalonians 5:15. We're to be long-suffering by when we are sinned against, we show forgiveness in Luke 17:3 and 4. We're to be long-suffering through the preaching of the gospel in 2 Timothy 4:2. We're to be long-suffering in our homes when we deal with conflict in our families, when we discipline our children. We're to be long-suffering, Colossians 3:19 and 21. We're to be long-suffering, patient endurance in our place of employment, our jobs, our career, our work, from 1 Peter 2:18 through 20. We're to be long-suffering when we're going through suffering and difficult trials in our lives. We're to be long-suffering in Romans 12:12 and Romans 12:17 through 19. Matter of fact, Ephesians 4, 1 through 2 tells us that long-suffering is to be the very way of our life. And again, all that, we can't do that. God's not asking me to really suck it up this week and dig deep and come on, grit your teeth and you can do it. You can be a person with greater patience. Just the opposite. He says, surrender. Take your hands off of it and give it to me. And I'll produce it in you. Long-suffering does not mean, because we think about being patient and calm and peaceful, long-suffering does not mean that we tolerate and compromise sin. It does not mean that. We don't do that. Long-suffering does not mean that we're never angry. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and nothing makes you angry, there's something wrong with you. We're never sinful in our anger, but we are to have a righteous anger over things that are evil. And finally, long-suffering doesn't mean everyone loves us. We can be loving and merciful and patient. It doesn't mean we're going to get that in return, because Jesus told us we will be hated on account of Him. It doesn't mean everyone's going to love us, but it does say that you and I are to love all of our enemies. That's this incredible, beautiful thing called long-suffering. When we, again, yield our lives to the Holy Spirit, He releases His power to produce it in our lives. Not perfection, but it ripens over time. That's imitating Jesus. That is our witness to the world. I mean, how, if I'm not patient with people, how do they ever believe that God would be patient with them? Matter of fact, when I am patient with people, it reflects God's patience with me. And if I am not patient with people, it's a slap in the face of God's patience with me. Folks, we're called to love people. How can we love people if we're not patient with people? Such a witness. I read the story of a Christ follower who woke up in the morning, looked out in his driveway of his house, and saw the doors of his pickup truck standing wide open. Someone had broken into his truck in the middle of the night and had stolen everything out of it. Now, this Christ follower was upset. Man, it made him, I mean, he was mad. Mad at the wrongdoers. Mad at the wrongdoing of stealing. But he didn't rant and rave. He didn't throw a chair. He didn't scream his head off. What he did instead was he prayed. And God gave him, he yielded to the Holy Spirit, and God gave him restraint. God gave him restraint where he could respond with patience and mercy and maturity. And what a witness. The neighbors came over and they saw the police there and said, "Man, I can't believe you're reacting this way. I can't believe you're so calm and peaceful about it." One neighbor said, "Man, I'd be going crazy." You know what long-suffering did? It opened up a door for him to witness to his neighbors and say, "Hey, I'm nothing, but let me tell you the difference Jesus makes in my life." But most of all, the witness of long-suffering to his children. When his two boys came out there and saw that the truck had been broken into, first of all, the dad told them that sin is wrong. And he told them that those who stole the things out of the truck, that they would face the consequences of the law if they got caught. But then he also taught them this. He says, "You know, guys," he says, "everyone who stole something, they have a soul." And the dad said, "You know what, kids? They're thieves. But Jesus loved the thief on the cross. And anyone that would steal something from us, their life must be a mess. They need Christ." So he prayed for the thieves with his boys. They didn't see wrath and hate. His kids and his neighbors saw fruit. They saw the life of Jesus in them in a real world situation. Guys, you and I live in a world where if someone gives you a hard look at an intersection, you don't respond, you're some kind of a wimp. Let's be clear. Anger and impatience shows human weakness. Love and patience shows the power of God. And that's imitating Jesus. And that's a witness to the world for God's glory. Number three, and finally, is this. Long-suffering is needed for God's people to accomplish God's purpose. Long-suffering is needed for God's people to accomplish God's purpose. God has a plan for your life. A plan that is beyond anything you and I could ever imagine. Doesn't mean it's always going to be easy, but it's always going to be best. And God, as He unfolds His plan in your life and my life, His hidden hand behind the scenes of our life, as He's working in you and working in me and all the good and all the bad for His glory, God has a calendar for His plan. And God's calendar is not our calendar. And we can give God every deadline we want when we want to know something. God doesn't operate by our deadlines. God's timing, as He unfolds His plan in our life, is always His time, it's always the right time, it's always the best time, and we've got to trust Him in that. But what can happen as God is unfolding His plan in our lives, we can be impatient. And being impatient can hinder God's purpose in our lives. Matter of fact, our heart and our lives can be so dominated and so filled with being impatient, we don't have room for God to even work anymore. Because we're consumed by impatience. We want to know this now. We want this to happen now. We want, and God's, well, much of God's great work and His great gifts come slowly. We don't like to hear that. But it's true in the Bible and it's true in life. We want it fast. And if we become impatient, I mean, look in the Bible. Moses spent decades in the wilderness before "Let my people go." David was hanging out with a bunch of sheep fighting off lions and bears before he ever had oil poured on his head to be the king. Simon Peter, this rough fisherman, There was a long gap between the writing of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Think about Joseph. Think about how, man, we would like things to be solved quick. We want the answer now. We want it to happen right now. But God's great plan and God's great gifts typically come really slow to us. David Jeremiah talks about Joseph. He says it so much better than I can. Joseph could have easily given in to his horrible situation. Sold by his brothers, taken to a foreign land, accused wrongly by his master's wife, put in prison, yet Joseph refused to give up, and I would add, or blow up. Instead, he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. He became a ruling official. He saved the lives of many during the years of famine, including the brothers who betrayed him. Joseph patiently served God, making the most of his situation while exhibiting the sweetness of long-suffering. He had no way of knowing what God had in store for him in the midst of all of his pain. The emotions he experienced reuniting with his father and saving his family from the famine gave him great joy, erasing all the years of sorrow. Like Joseph, we need to rest in God's purpose and plan when faced with trials. God accomplished His purpose and God accomplished His plan for His glory through the life of Joseph, but it wasn't liquid oxygen ready to burn in 3 seconds. It wasn't keep pushing the elevator button. It wasn't honk, honk, the light's green, what is your problem? It took time. Don't miss out what God's doing in your life because you're impatient. Trust Him. And the fruit of the Spirit-filled life, the fruit of the Spirit-filled life of long-suffering, God will work out His purposes and His plan for His glory. God is long-suffering, but I want you to know that there is a time when those chances are over. A lot of people who are not sure of their relationship with Jesus, and I guarantee in the several thousand people here today, there's going to be some. It's not that you're telling God no, you're just saying not now. You keep kind of doing this game of, you heard Dell's testimony of coming to that point with Jana of knowing what he needed to do in his life with Christ. It's not that you're telling God no, you're just saying not now. But here's the thing, if you could look down the future and guarantee yourself a day when you're going to leave this life, but we don't have that. I can't tell you how many times in 24 years of preaching that someone's heard their last sermon on a Sunday because they didn't make it to the next Sunday. You and I have no guarantee of today or tomorrow. If this was the last sermon you ever heard, are you right with the Lord? Have your sins been forgiven through Christ? Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? Have you come to Him? God is long-suffering. He gives you chance after chance after chance. But there does come a time when you don't have those chances anymore. Oh, that great sermon that caused a great awakening, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, was said it was like the grace of God was a spider web just holding people over the very flames of hell itself. And at any moment, that strand could be snipped. The long suffering of God. Jesus loves you. He wants to change your life right now, today. Come to Him and have forgiveness and new life. And the fruit of the Spirit in your life by growing in Christ and knowing Him. You can come to Jesus today. For those of us who already know Christ, I'm reminded of a story by Guy McCraw. Guy McCraw said there was a woman who was in the shopping market doing her shopping. And one aisle over, she heard a baby. This baby was mad. This baby was throwing a hissy fit. This baby was crying. This baby was screaming. And she was thinking, "Woo, that little one is upset." Well, around the corner came the screaming baby, and pushing the cart was a young father. And this young father was pushing the baby in the cart. He was so patient and calm, and he kept saying, "Keep calm, Albert. Keep calm, Albert." And she heard him saying that, and it just melted her heart as a mother herself and a grandma now. And the baby was just going, "Wah!" And he was just so patient. "Keep calm, Albert. Keep calm, Albert." She finally couldn't stand longer. She came up to him and said, "Sir, I don't mean to stick my nose into your business," she said, "but I want to encourage you, as a young father, you are so patient with baby Albert." He said, "Ma'am, my name is Albert." Is that your strategy? Count to three and take 3 deep breaths. Take an 8-week course. Listen to ocean music when you go to bed. talk to yourself and say, keep calm, Albert. I'm glad there's a better plan. You can talk to Jesus. And through the power of the Holy Spirit in us, in the real world, facing really difficult people and really difficult situations and real world situations that we wish happened 2 weeks ago because we're waiting, waiting, waiting. When we yield to the Holy Spirit as Christ followers, He will release His power in us in the real world to where we can have an ever-growing presence that we experience and express to others of a funny word that we don't use much today, called long-suffering. And we're not some kind of touch, irritate, explode. We're going to be the sweet-smelling fragrance of Christ in this world that needs it so desperately. Would you pray with me? Father, we love You, and we're just so grateful that, again, Your word is for the real world and for the real life. God, thank You that this message is so practical to me and to all of us. God, in this world, in our life relationships, we want love, patience, and mercy. We don't want anger and impatient hatred. God, is there one here today that this is the day they would say, God, I'm not going to play on Your long-suffering anymore. I'm not going to tell You no. I'm not going to tell You not now. I'm going to tell You yes. And right now, Lord Jesus, because You died on the cross and You arose from the grave, Lord, they're going to tell You, in faith, I turn from sin and trust in You to give me new life because You're alive and You paid the price for my sins. Is that you? Do you need to come to Christ? Lord, I also pray for the believers that are here. God, thank You that for the conviction even in this message. That's how much You love us. Thank You for the excitement in this message of growing, of a new day, a fresh start. The encouragement, Lord, of not being beat down, but being set free, that through Your Holy Spirit in us, we can live, not in our power, but Your power released in us, the fruit of the Spirit-filled life. Ever ripening, ever growing in our love, ever growing in our joy, ever growing in our peace, and ever growing in our long-suffering. God, maybe we need to apologize to someone. Maybe we need to come today for church membership and really plug our lives into the body here at First Baptist Arnold according to Your will. And God, lay our ears back and say, man, we want to make a difference for Jesus in this world. We want to make disciples and be disciples. Or maybe some need to come for baptism. Maybe a surrender to missions or ministry. God, maybe that praying for our vacation Bible school workers, God, that they would have great patience this week. Next week, God, great kindness to these children. Lord, thank You that there's going to be a bunch of kiddos here who are from Christian homes that love You and love them. And God, that is the goal. And we equally thank You. There's going to be some kids here. It breaks our hearts, God. They've never had an adult love them in their life. Thank You that You're going to let us love on them this week. And God, may we have Your long-suffering patience and kindness and joy with them. Lord, what is it You'd have us to do? Not just take a step back, Lord, and say this is kind of a generic overview message. Oh, how our culture needs to hear this. And boy, how people in the church need to hear this. But God, would You allow us to clear everything out of our lives and stand one-on-one, face-to-face with You and say, Jesus, what did this message say to me? Jesus, what do I need to apply in my life? God, help us to be real. Help us in our homes and our families if we do get irritable, if we do become impatient. Help us to look our loved ones in the eyes and say, no excuse. I'm sorry. Thank You that we can grow. Thank You, Lord, that the fruit of the Spirit can ever be ripening in our lives. Thank You that You're long-suffering with us. We ask it in Jesus' name.